2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. All right, let's read it one more time. I want you to listen to the description of Naaman. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, so he had position, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. And here's the key word of this verse, a little three-letter word. All those accolades laid on Naaman. All the things he'd accomplished, all the things he had done. You might say he was really blessed. You might say he was accomplished. But listen to this word. But he was a leper. And you pray for us for just a minute.
Bless him.
Surely won't be too long. Now here's a man, as we said, was very accomplished. He had attained a position. He wasn't just anybody. He was over every soldier in Syria. If they moved troops, if they fought in a battle, if they got fed, if they had a bed to lay on, Naaman was the man. He was the one that took care of the army of Syria. If they won battles, it was Naaman. If they lost battles, it was on Naaman. And we read for that he had brought victory. And I'm sure men revered him. We think of men like General George Washington. We think of men like General Lee and people like that. Those men had great victories, didn't they, in the battles that they fought. And I'm sure people thought of Naaman as somebody that was a great leader. Somebody that would bring victory. That's how he was thought of. Listen to what it says. And was a great man with his master, with the king of Syria. Naaman was considered a great man. Everybody looked up to him. He was honored. He had done many great things in his life, but he was a leper. You can do a lot of great things in your life. You can accomplish a lot of great things. But you can't get past that disease that you've got. Well, preacher, I'm in perfect health. I'm just fine. I'm healthy as a horse. Let me tell you something. The Bible says this: all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care how much you accomplish. I don't care how many charitable works you do. I don't care how much you give away. I don't care how many mouths you feed. You will not outrun sin. You will not overcome it on your own. Leprosy was a disease that was well known in that day and age. And you pray for us for just a minute. We read over in Luke chapter 4. It says there were many leprous men in the days of Elisha. And I want you, when you get home, to go through and read this whole story. But there was only one that was made clean. Only one. His name was Naaman. And so this disease of leprosy, you could see it It was a disease of the flesh, and if I had it, you might see lesions, you might see open sores, you might see things all over my skin, all over my face, my arms, whatever skin was exposed. It wouldn't be hard to see that I had leprosy. And they didn't know what caused it in that day or what cured it, but they just knew men had it. So the men and women that had leprosy were shunned. They were cast aside. Nobody had anything to do with them. As a matter of fact, we read about four leprous men that was cast outside the city of Samaria because people didn't want to have anything to do with them. And Naaman, as many things as he had done, as many accomplishments as he had, as many people as looked up to him, he had leprosy. Can't you imagine? Nobody. And listen, he had reason to celebrate. He had reason to be happy. He was successful in life. But there is something to be said for having someone to be close to in your life. There is something to be said for being able to shake a hand or to hug a neck or just to spend time being close to someone. And Naaman couldn't do that. Of all the things that he accomplished, he couldn't get close to anybody because he had leprosy. And now listen, I know leprosy, we don't hear of it in this day and age. They found out that if you bathed and took care of those lesions and sores, they would heal and go away with time. But in that day and age, they didn't have a cure for it. And you weren't even allowed to be around other people until you showed yourself to the priest and he declared you whole. He declared you made whole, healed. And so here is Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria. Here is Naaman and won many victories. And yet he couldn't be around anybody. He couldn't befriend folks. He couldn't love folks because he had this disease, leprosy, and everybody knew it. Did you know this disease called sin that we all have today? We think we've got it hid, just like I preached to you Wednesday night about Achan. He thought he had it hid. We think we have it hid, but it tells on us. Did you know that?
Amen.
You may think you have it hid, but God already knows. Well, preacher, I know what I am. I know what I've done. And I'll just keep that hid and nobody will know. And I'll slide right through the revival. When the power of God falls on the altar at Dutch Bottoms, and I believe it will, don't you?
Amen.
When the power of God falls on the altar of Dutch Bottoms, it stirs in the hearts of Christian men and women, and tears flow, and shouts praise. Listen, we felt a little spirit this morning. I didn't hear any shouting. We've not made it to revival yet of you. I'm here to tell you today, we've got room to draw nigh unto God.
Amen.
That's right.
When the power of God falls on the altar at Dutch Bottoms, it will be evident not just to God, but to the church where Mike is with God.
Amen.
You can't fake it. I can smile.
Help him, Lord.
Well, why don't you right now, preacher? I can smile. I can shake your hand. But when the power of God falls, if I'm not right with him, it'll show.
That's right.
You can't fake that.
Amen.
You have to have the real thing.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Naaman had leprosy and everybody knew it. He might have won a great victory for Syria. As a matter of fact, we read where that he held captive a little maid of Samaria. Evidently, he had gone down there and won victory and brought back a little maid. And she worked for his wife. And no doubt the day of that great victory, he might have thought, look what we were able to accomplish. He might have felt satisfied way down deep on the inside. But of all the satisfaction that he could muster, of all the good feelings that he could have on the inside, he still couldn't overcome that leprosy. I don't care how many great things you get. You may be elected the President of the United States. You may be a congressman. You might go to Hollywood and get famous. You may have a lot of money in your bank account. But you can't overcome that emptiness on the inside, that hole that's within you, that loneliness, that sin brings. And there's only one cure for it. It's to get down to the man of God and to get washed in the water that flows from the throne of God.
Amen.
Of all the greatness that Naaman was, there was a little maid from Samaria that noticed his countenance. He never had a smile on his face either. Of all the accomplishments that Naaman had accomplished, she noticed in the cool of the day when everybody was sitting down having supper, Naaman didn't seem. He couldn't sit down with them. In the cool of the night when his family went to their house and laid down in their bed and went to sleep, Naaman couldn't go. She noticed that Naaman didn't appear to be happy. She knew what the disease was that he had. And she said, I would that my master would go down to the prophet that's in Samaria. For I know if he'd go down there, he'd be made whole. Did you hear me call the little maid's name? You Bible readers, have you ever read the little maid's name? Is it in there? I don't think it is. Listen, the world may never know who I am. Your name may never appear on Broadway. When the movie credits run, your name may not be in there. But if we could help one person overcome the disease of sin, won't it be worth it all? Oh, listen. You pray for me for a few minutes. I'll try my best to hurry. She said, if the master would just go down there, I know he'd be made whole. Now let me ask you something. And when you came to the man of God, when you came down, do you know that a change was made in your life? Amen. When you came and you called on the Lord, do you know that you got saved by His marvelous grace? Amen. Let me rephrase it. Has a miracle happened in your life?
Amen.
Well, preacher, I've never had my sight brought back to me. I've never been made to walk when I was lame. My halt arm has never been restored. I'm asking you, if you were helpless and on your way to hell and the mighty hand of the Lord reached down and redeemed you by His marvelous grace. He took away that broken heart and put one in of love. He took away your sadness and your shame. He took away the guilt that accompanies sin. Did He wash you? Did He make you clean? Have you had a miracle?
Amen. 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 Bless Him, Lord.
For all that Naaman had accomplished, he was missing something. How about you? Do you have peace on the inside? I heard during the request, I believe it was Dede said there's no peace. And there is no peace in this world except in Jesus.
Amen.
He's the only peace you'll ever find.
Yes.
Naaman had conquered. Naaman had won victories. Naaman had done great things. But he lacked one thing. He lacked the peace. That was what he was searching for. How about you? Have you been troubled like Naaman? Your heart broken like Naaman? Couldn't sleep. Couldn't eat. Just a desire to have that longing on the inside filled. We've all felt it. I'm here to tell you today, you're no different than I am. You're no different than these men on the front row, than these women that's sitting here in the congregation today. We all have felt that emptiness. We all have felt that brokenness on the inside. And there's only one remedy for that. David went down to the prophet's house. I'm skipping over a whole lot. We could tell you about the king of Syria that wrote the letter to the king of Israel, how the king of Israel rent his clothes. And when the prophet Elisha heard that the king had rent his clothes, he said, no need to worry. Just send him on down here. And when he gets here, you'll know that there's a prophet. I'm telling you, we've got a week until revival. And you say, nothing can touch the heart of my sinner. And you say, my people are so hard-hearted. Nothing's going to make a difference. Just send them on down to the house of the Lord. Let's see if the Lord won't pass by. And let them know there's a God in heaven that made a way of redemption for them. Find them. Call them. Ask them. Pray for them. And boom, when God comes through, they're in a revival.
Amen.
Amen.
If we have a revival, it's up to you.
Amen.
Amen.
I love the men that are coming. They mean a lot to me. Personally. But if Dutch Bottoms has revival, you're going to have to pray one day.
That's right.
You're going to have to pray. I'm going to have to pray. I have to get where God can use me. You have to get where God can use you. He may not use me to preach one night. He may just want me to go back there and hold the door open so people can get in. And if he wants that, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than anything I know. I told this. You done got me started, so you're going to have to. You're going to have to endure me for a minute. I was pastor at Round Mountain. We had a visitor preacher come on Sunday night and preached so well. And you know how us Baptists are. Once the preacher's done, they'll call for some of them to get a song and we'll play Ring Around the Rosie on the altar. You know what I'm talking about. All the way around. It's just tradition. There's nothing wrong with that. But I believe we need to do what God tells us to.
Amen.
Instead of calling for a song, as soon as he got done preaching, he called for a testimony. He said, is there anybody got anything on your heart you want to say? And a little grandma on the second pew over on this side stood up and said, I need the church to forgive me. What a novel concept that we would seek forgiveness. She said, I need the church to forgive me. I've not prayed for it like I need to. I've got children. I've got grandchildren that need the Lord. And I want to be in the center of God's will so I could see them saved. Tears rolling down her face. And then somebody else stood up and testified. And then somebody else stood up and testified. Over here on the opposite pew, on the opposite side, there was another lady stood up. She happened to be that lady's daughter. She said, I need to make my acknowledgments too. What are acknowledgments? Acknowledgments are confessing that we have not done what we need to do and we need to ask our fellow man to forgive us.
Amen.
That's the hardest thing to do, is to admit that we're wrong. The hardest thing to do is to say, forgive me, I wronged you. I'm sorry, I love you, and I want us to worship together. The last thing I want to be is a stumbling block to a sinner. And when we sit in our sin and we're too stubborn to move, we're right smack dab in the middle of a sinner's way.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is hard, hard stuff. But if the gospel doesn't move you to be better, is it the gospel?
That's right.
Now, Gehazi could have been a stumbling block. Here came Naaman with his horses and his chariots seeking help for that emptiness, for that brokenness, for that disease that he had. Gehazi could have been a stumbling block. What was Naaman expecting? He was expecting that the man of God would come out, put his hand on the leprous place, and he'd just be healed. And what a miraculous sight. And maybe the men that were with him would rejoice that the leprosy had been healed. We've got to do it God's way.
Amen.
There is no other way that we can do it.
Right.
If we don't do it God's way, it's not right. I don't care what we're expecting. And let me just tell you this. Healing is not in my hands. It's in His hands. I could touch you from head to toe, and it wouldn't help you not one bit. But if He puts His hand on you, you're talking about making a difference. It will. The man of God didn't even come out. He didn't even say hi. When I've seen people get angry because the preacher didn't shake their hand. You don't need me. You need God.
Amen.
I try my best to be as friendly as I can be. But preachers are a dime a dozen. Now, I do believe you need the one that God wants you to have. But I can shake every hand in this sanctuary, and if God don't come by, we can't have church. All right, moving. I'm moving. Oh, I'm ready. Here's all my entourage, my horses, my chariots. Lay it on me. And out came a little servant, Gehazi. It was obvious by his appearance he wasn't the man of God. He said, "My master has said that you need to go wash down in Jordan." And immediately, Naaman thought, "Ooh, really? Go wash in Jordan. Go dip yourself in Jordan 7 times, and you'll be made whole." Jordan? Ooh! It's nasty. It's muddy. It don't look like nothing. I've traveled all this way, and that's all you're going to give me? And Naaman got angry. He was wroth, and he went away. You see, folks, it doesn't matter if the whole church sees you get right. It doesn't matter if we put it out there on the sign. It doesn't matter if we run it on the front page of the Newport Plain Talk. The only two people that need to be concerned about whether or not you're right is you and God.
Amen. Amen.
And if you and God got it fixed up, I've got to be okay with it.
Amen.
All right. Naaman went away wroth. Can you believe that? I've traveled from Syria to Samaria. Miles and miles, days of journey, years of going through this disease. Oh, I can't get rid of it no matter what I've done. I'm broken. You know how many times I'd love to sit down with my family and share a meal, or laid down in the bed with my wife at night, or hug my children close. How many things I've gone through, and he didn't even come out to see me. He didn't lay his hand on me. Oh, who does he think he is? And the little servant said, if he'd have bid you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. How much is it to ask you to go down to Jordan? You know, all the Lord wants you to do if you want to be washed is repent and say, I'm sorry, and fall on your knees with a broken heart. I'm glad he's died to them that are of a broken heart. And we'll say, I'd have been in hell right now had he not been dear to them that had a broken heart and asked them to save me. Aren't you glad? It's not complicated. It's real simple to be saved. Ask and you shall receive.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank
you. All right, I'm trying to hurry. And so you know what Naaman did? He tried to reason it out. He said, aren't the rivers of Pharpar and Damascus cleaner, prettier? Did you know down at Pharpar, they've got 1,000 that go down there. They've got 5 or 6 different services on Sunday. They've got a person paid to direct parking. Down there at Damascus, they've got all kinds of programs. They've got divorce program, drug addiction program, children's program, teenagers program, young adults program. Friends, I'm glad people want to help others. But the best program we can have for whoever walks through the door, regardless of their situation, is to have the power of God on this altar.
Amen.
Counseling is good. Grace and salvation is better.
Amen.
All right. All the mightiest of counselors can do is point you to Jesus anyway. All right. So here went Naaman down. It didn't look like much. It was smaller than all the other rivers. It was muddy. It's a little old river named Jordan. I know, and I appreciate the number we got this morning. I'd like to see more in you.
Amen.
I would. I'd like to see more spirit too, wouldn't you?
Amen.
There's churches in Cobb County. He's got 3 times, 4 times, 5 times more folks than we do. But they can't have more spirit than we can have if we want it.
Amen.
You know what Jordan represents? Let me just make this clear. Jordan represents the church. I believe if you're going to be washed and made clean, I believe if you're going to be saved by the grace of God, it's got to come through the church.
Amen.
There's no other way. Well, preacher, the lake's on the other side of the road. There's no river here. Yes, there is. It flows from the throne of God.
Amen.
Read Revelations chapter 21. He showed me a pure river of water of life flowing from the throne of God.
Amen.
In the midst of it, on either side, was the tree of life, whose leaves are for the healing of the nation.
Amen.
Well, preacher, that's in heaven. Let's go on. Did he not say he would make us to sit together in heavenly places?
Amen.
There is no significance to this carpet, to these walls, to this stage, to this place on either side where you may have knelt. It's not what it felt like when you rubbed your hand across the stitches in the carpet. It's not what that you saw, it's what you felt on the inside.
Amen.
It made all the difference. You see, this place is designated as a place where Jesus passes by.
Amen.
Do you want to have revival?
Amen.
Do you want Jesus to pass by?
Amen.
Well, let's give him a ride. Bring him with you when you come. Don't bring Satan in here, because he gets here the same way as the Lord does. Through you.
That's right.
Amen.
Through you.
Amen.
Have you ever gone to church angry?
Yeah.
I just said, Satan, come on. We got to go to church now. But then there have been times where I got thinking about the Lord's blessings on my life. How many times he had been there for me in my trouble. And by the time I got to church, I had him stirring down on the inside.
Yeah.
You can bring Jesus with you. Or you can bring our buddy Satan. And let me just say this. You are going to bring one or the other.
Amen.
You're never going to come by yourself. Okay. Naaman got down in Jordan, and he had to dip seven times. Seven times. And I'll be done in just a second. Do you believe the gospel is important?
Amen.
Do you believe that it's essential to salvation?
Amen.
And I've made mention of the parable of the seed sower multiple times lately. Go read it. It talks about the good ground. It talks about the stony ground. It talks about the thistles. It talks about the seed that was thrown down by the wayside. How does good ground become? How does stony ground become good ground? You got to get stones out of the way. You see, it's very, very seldom. In my personal experience, now you all may have a different experience. It's very, very seldom in my personal experience that I've seen sinners come in and it be their first time to the church that they run to the altar and get saved. It's been my experience that the gospel has to be sown, the seed has to be sown. And then that seed has to be watered, and then that seed has to germinate. And over time, I planted some grass seed about just 2 weeks ago this coming Monday. It didn't come up the next day. As a matter of fact, I planted it about 7 o'clock. And if I'd went back out there at 8 o'clock at night, you know what there'd have been? Just seed. There'd have been no blades of grass. It wouldn't have grown. But it's been almost 2 weeks. We've got a little blanket of straw that covers an area about the size of this altar. And I lifted it up. Me and Tammy were out there and I lifted it up. And you know what's under there now? There's just a little bitty, it's about that tall, blades of grass. It took 2 weeks to produce that. I believe sinners may not come the first time they walk through the door. But if we keep presenting Jesus, if we keep preaching Jesus, if we keep singing the praises of Jesus, if we keep telling our sinners about the goodness and the blessings that Jesus has placed in our lives, it may not be the first time. It may not be trip number 2. It may not be trip number 3. But if we keep giving them Jesus, eventually they'll raise up and be washed and be made clean.
Amen.
Amen.
Now let me close. I mean, knows the story of Naaman. You've read it, you've heard it taught. Go ahead, it's all right. Most of you do. What did Naaman do when his feet stepped out of the river Jordan back onto dry ground? Did he go back to warring? Did he go back home to Syria and say, come on, boys, I've got rid of this disease now. Watch what I do now. No, that wasn't him. He went back down to the prophet's house, didn't he? Why? Because there was a change made. Because the man that went into Jordan wasn't the same man that came out. The man that came out, the man that went in may have had a little doubt. The man that went in may have had a little anger with him. The man that went in may have thought, I'm a Syrian, and here I am down in Samaria. I don't even know this God. What's he going to do for somebody like me? But the man that came out said, there is a God in Syria. The man that came out said, look what God has done for me. How long has it been since you've been out of Jordan? And how long has it been since you told the world what washing in Jordan did for you? What God did for you? What the Savior did for you when he saved you? Did he make a difference? Did he make you clean? Are you glad you know Jesus as your Savior?
Amen.
Well, that was Old Testament, preacher. I don't have that kind of money to buy an airplane ticket and fly over there and get into River Jordan. Preacher, I heard the River Jordan's about dried up now. It's just mostly mud. Getting in that river is not going to help you. Getting in that spiritual river that flows from the throne of God will make you clean. What's in that river? Are you washed? In the blood. That's what washes the sins away. Didn't you know that? Oh, friend. Until you get to Jesus, you're always going to be empty on the inside. Until you get to Jesus, that fear that you've got way down on the inside that you can't let go of, that you can't get rid of, that you can't pacify, that you can't replace with pills or alcohol or whatever. You may get numb, but when you get unnumb, it's still there. You just can't get rid of it. You may have tried. You can't get rid of it until you get to Jesus. Until you get down to the River Jordan and be made clean. Here it is. You've heard this man's testimony right here. He sat right back there, and the Lord dealt with him, and he got up, and he made his way. And you know what he found when he got right here? The river.
Amen.
But he dealt right here. Yeah. He came down, and John, please don't be offended at what I'm about to say. He came down a dirty sinner, but when he got up, he was made clean.
Amen.
I was 8 years old. I had never drunk a drop. I had smoked a joint. I had committed adultery. I hadn't done a lot of things. But when I got down, I was just as dirty as John was when he got down. Why? Because sin is sin and it's black and I was covered in it. But when I got down on my knees on a little half bed on the other side of the bridge, I was washed and made clean. If you've never been to Jesus, you need to be washed and be made clean. Amen. I'm here to tell you, don't trust. I can't perform miracles. I can't bring out something and cure you of your disease. But I know a man who can.
Amen.
See, I'm not Elisha in this story. I'm just Gehazi. I can just tell you what he told me to tell you. That's all I can do. Now it's up to you. And please don't take this lightly. Please don't go out of this church and dismiss this. What I've preached to you today, I know I didn't preach about the cross. I know that I didn't preach about the tomb. But I preached to you Jesus.
Amen.
And if you don't know him, in hell, you'll lift your eyes.
Amen.
Did you know hell is the place nobody wants to go? And yet it's the most popular destination of all humanity?
Amen.
It's so popular that they've had to enlarge its borders. I've been in big crowds. I've been in big crowds where it was like this. This shoulder to shoulder. Come on over here, Keith. This shoulder to shoulder on either side, and you couldn't move. And that's a little bit uncomfortable, ain't it?
Yeah, it is.
Now, you imagine that, and you birded. You imagine that, and people biting you and screaming and crying out in pain. Why would you want to go there? I don't want to. I've been saved by the grace of God. I made my way down to Jordan and it made me clean. Aren't you glad you don't have to go? Friend, hell is just a breath away. Hell is just a heartbeat away. And if the Lord's knocking at your heart, today is the day. Of salvation.
Amen.
Behold, now is the accepted time. Can I go a little farther? Amen. If you hear his voice today, harden not your heart.
Amen. Amen.
You see, Naaman went back to Elisha's house to give him a blessing, to say thank you. The Lord's blessed me. I've been made clean. Let me give you something to show my appreciation. I'm a little skeptical of folks. But every time you talk to them, it's, what can you give me? 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 Well, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive.
Amen.
If I want a blessing, maybe I should give something.
Amen.
All right. Naaman was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And that was me. And that was you.